Today's episode of The Thriller Zone is sponsored by Blackstone Publishing and the brilliant new techno thriller 4 Minutes by the number one internationally best-selling author duo, Brian Andrews and Jeff Wilson. 4 Minutes is available now from your favorite bookseller. Hello and welcome to The Thriller Zone. I'm your host, David Temple, and I'm so glad you have joined me. Couple of quick things before we start the show, if you would please. Have you subscribed to our YouTube channel yet? Let me tell you where it is. YouTube.com/TheThrillerZone. Yeah, easy peasy. Have you seen our brand new website? It's delicious. TheThrillerZone.com. And of course, you can follow us on all social channels like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, The Thriller Zone. Also, if you ever want to drop us an email, you just want to check in and say hello, you can do that at TheThrillerZone@gmail.com. Guess who's on the show today? Brian Andrews, Jeff Wilson is Andrews Wilson. And they've got a new book on their hands called 4 Minutes. Oh, it is sizzling. It's hot. All right. So without any further ado, let's get on into The Thriller Zone.
Great to see you. It's been too long.
Dude, it's entirely too long.
Yeah.
You look fantastic as always.
Oh, geez. No, I'm going to say the same to you. You got the rock and the goatee, dude. I love it.
Yeah, it had grown down to about here. And my wife turns to me one day and she goes, you know, I kind of dig some of that, but that? No.
Did it really get that long?
Yeah, I had it down to like, I had a great big puffy.
And you can put like a little rubber band on it or something.
You need more shelf space behind you, bro.
I get so much stuff going on. Look at this thing that I got.
Oh, is that what I think it is?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
like authentic 1980s vintage lamb's wool, like Russian submarine officer's cap.
Dude, please. I'm begging you. Start the show wearing that.
It doesn't fit on my head.
It doesn't matter. Take
it's
that
for like a little kid's head.
Take the ball cap off. Let me just see it.
like this.
Dude, that is.
I can't make it fit.
Oh, that is so good. Yeah, there you go. Oh, that's so good. Holy shit, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah. So good.
Only we could find a way. Sort of, maybe.
Now, that is the best. You just made my whole week.
Maybe I should wear it. Maybe I should do this to start the show.
Please, please, I'm begging you. Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll do that.
All right. We're recording now, but that's only because I never want to miss one little morsel of goodness with you guys. What will he think when he shows up?
No, he hasn't seen it.
Oh, he hasn't?
No.
This is even better. I wish I had a hat around that was... Is there any... Oh, wait. I do have something. Hang on. It is nowhere... Even in the ballpark of cool factor like yours.
Well, hold on. I was texting Jeff. Okay.
But I have a nice little vintage wool cashmere.
There you go.
I guess you'd call it like a ball. You know, be like, it's hat
yes,
day.
Yes, yes.
Or if you wanted to go Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Which is just kind of.
Yeah, I'll put on glasses as well.
No. Oh my God! Where is that clown?
I like Samuel Jackson. That's good.
That's good. It's Congle. I'm looking at your output, and I'm going to bring this up in the show. By the way, I got very few notes because I just want to hang in the juicy space that you are. But you guys are slamming it.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot in the pipeline right now.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited for you.
But you got to do it. You know, when the opportunity presents itself, you can't say no.
100%. If you don't, I mean, what's the old saying? You got to make hay while
the sun shines.
There you go.
This is the unveiling.
Right. I have officers, whatever they are. Yeah.
I have a naval officer's, a Russian Navy officer's watch that I got years ago that my son now wears. He wears it.
Sweet.
But more importantly, do you have any kind of hat other than A&W that's just out of the ordinary?
It's out of the ordinary.
You know, like that jester hat that you like to wear, those little things.
Yeah, let me see what I can.
Yeah, I mean, since we're futzing around. Dude, this has made my week.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Even with all this hassle, it has made my freaking week.
Right, I have a too small child's pirate hat.
Okay.
There you go. I like it.
Oh, that is... There you go. Oh, so good. Now, we're going to keep these on for the whole show. I mean, this is hat day.
I'm not going to have any blood flow to the top of my head by the time we're done. That's all right.
That's okay.
Make it
it's work. Overrated. Look, by the way, Jeff, his hat doesn't even fit.
No, because this guy had a small head, and I have a very big head.
It would probably fit me perfectly. I have a very small head. Obviously, because I'm wearing a six-year-old hat right now.
Thank God head size has nothing to do with brain power. I'd be screwed.
Right. I'm living proof of that, as are you with your big head.
Well, welcome back for a return visit to the Thriller Zone. And let me count real quickly. I think this is 4.
Maybe.
Are we over the record?
You are tied with the record with Mark Graney.
Setting record.
So just real quickly, explain to me, because people are joining us and we're having all kinds of fun with this. Brian, what is the significance of that hat?
This is an authentic Russian submarine officer's wool cap. They have a certain name that slips my mind, a Russian name, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife bought me this as a fun thing for the launch of Act of Defiance. So you guys are the first people to get to see it. And now it will go on the shelf behind me. If I'm not wearing it, I might just wear it to everything we do.
And if I may say so, it's a smashing accoutrement to your visage.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Jeff is up now.
We've got the pirate over here.
Yeah. Jeff, how about you? What is the, and just make it up if you have to.
Yeah, there's no significance in my hat. I was wearing my Andrews and Wilson hat when we started, and then I had my USS Indiana hat, but you guys said I had to wear something weird, so I went and got my 8-year-old's pirate hat. So I am what you guys created. That's where I am.
Well, welcome back, you internationally best-selling duo.
Good to be here.
Good to be here.
I don't even have to do that in air quotes because this shit's legit, as they say. 4 minutes right here. I have so much to say about that juicy little read. We're going to get to it in just a minute. And God, I have so many things to say. Let's cruise. How are we on time? Are we got any pressing issues?
Oh, you know, just the 5 novels we have to write this year. Other than that. So you please be relaxed and take all the time you want.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to heart out in less than 30. How about that?
We're here for you, brother.
Okay.
You're one of the few that we will make time for no matter what.
You're so sweet. You probably said that to all the girls. Well, before we jump into 4 minutes, I do want to do this because we have a nice long history. You guys were kind enough to join me when I was just first launching this puppy. We're now into season 6, coming up on year 3, almost 200 episodes. So you've had a huge part in that.
Well, but we're glad to have been a part of it. You're a good dude. We knew you before the podcast. We get to say that.
Thank you. I'll insert some applause later. I want to play a catch up because the last time we saw each other was well, now you were on the show last in February, so a year ago, and we squeezed in Thriller Fest in between there, didn't we?
Yeah, we had breakfast, right? Didn't we have breakfast?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. With your lovely wives. Does it feel like it's been a year already?
No, it's time warp. It's the era of time warps. It feels like, I mean, we're heading to Thriller Fest again here in a month or two. So.
And time warp actually plays a part in 4 minutes. So that's look at you.
See what he did there?
You know what? They're not paying you enough. Let's do a real quick countdown because I was doing this as I was as Brian and I were chatting. Tier one. So we got tier one, including Ember coming out this winter. Don't want to jump ahead of myself, but you know, you guys summer, are actually,
coming out in July.
Ember is July?
Yeah, I think.
Are my notes?
You might know. I'm not going to lie to you. You might know better than we do. It's possible I'm wrong.
Well, Act of Defiance is coming out summer, right?
Act of Defiance comes out in May.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe my wait. Oh, okay. See, now you're gonna make me do this here because I do my homework. So I have to do tier one.
I didn't mean to mess you up. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I don't want to distract. So tier one, Sons of Valor, Shepherd series, Tom Clancy series. That's where Act of Defiance is coming out right in the summer. Yeah, and Webb Griffin Presidential Agent series. So what Brian and I were talking about before you showed up, Jeff, is that just how busy you cats are. I mean, what you're doing in 365 days trumps what most people do in three times that. So tell me about that. What's that feel like?
It feels like a collision course with divorce is what. So we love everything we're writing. So this is not us complaining. We know that sure. This is such a blessing and that these are good problems to have. But I will say that my family wasn't that thrilled that they had spring break last week, and I worked every day, including Saturday and Sunday. Brian, your family were like, "You're working."
They went to the lake without me. So I was here by myself, which allowed me to get a lot of pages written. But I did feel very
good. Yeah. So I mean, that's all honesty. That's part of it. It is a little overwhelming. We're getting into a season where it's going to get a little bit better over the next year or two. But it's partly that, and this is the stress. It's one of those be careful what you pray for things. But right. Then what an honor to have, like, the only way around it would have been to say no to Tom Clancy, who does, you can't do that, right?
No.
So we could have decompressed it if when Tom Colgan reached out to us with this amazing offer, We could have passed, I guess. That would have made our lives a little simpler. And I'm going to be honest, one of us may even have said that's what we should do. And then the other one was a submarine officer and said, wait a minute, this falls on the 40th anniversary of the hunt for the Red October. Put your big boy pants on, Jeff. We're getting to work. That's what he said.
Aida.
That's a quote.
I got to get one of those. I looked for one on VDEC, not find a klaxon. And I feel like having like a sound effect, you know, like on my computer is not authentic.
And so. I can't mute him, right? Only you can. Is that I'm trying.
Find one. David, if you ever find one. We couldn't say no to it. And I think Jeff is happy that we didn't because.
Oh, I'm very happy. Yes.
Because yeah. Part of this is, you know, we were both reading Clancy when we were naval officers. I mean, I read Hunt for an October when I was on a submarine chasing around Russians, you know, I'm reading about Crazy Ivans and maybe watching Crazy Ivans for real. So, I mean, that's pretty cool to think that now, if you had told me, you know, back then that I would be writing the Clancy book with Jeff, first of all, I'd say, who is Jeff? And then the second thing I'd say is, no way, that's impossible. So it is a little crazy.
It is, and it is amazing. And in fairness, in my defense, when I did contemplate us maybe saying no, I did not know that our book was going to fall on the 40th anniversary of Hunt. If I had known that, it would have been a no-brainer. And once we did know that, when Colgan said, well, you know, just so you know, that was the end of it. And it would be remiss if we did not give a shout out to Blackstone, because it did present an enormous logistical challenge. And so, you know, we have a very Blackstone Publishing, our main publisher, they're like family. And yeah. We approached them like family. Dad. So we got in touch with Dad, with Josh Stanton, the CEO over there, and explained the situation. He was so amazing. So amazing. He was like, if you guys want to do this, we'll shift stuff around. We can change production schedules. You're a writer. You know what a lift that is for a company to do that. So they have been fantastic. So in addition to a huge thank you to Tom for the opportunity, huge thank you to Josh and to our whole team, our whole family at Blackstone for supporting it.
All right. So real quick, a golf clap for Blackstone, all three of us right now. This is for you, Blackstone Amen. Publishing.
Yes.
And blowing a kiss to Tom Colgan, our sweetheart. Really? Come on. Mwah, thank you.
Just a salute from you. Are you that insecure?
It's like the dating. Was it the dating game where they went? I just know that Tom Colgan would get a kick out of that. So anyway, kudos to all the cats involved, because you guys, I mean, 40th anniversary, Clancy and historical. I mean, you're going down in history, guys. That's the way I look at it. You're going down in history.
Yeah, I like it. Let's keep going.
It feels that way. And I will say that the other thank you is the United States Navy, because you say going down in history, this does feel like a journey back in time, because the Clancy, as everyone knows, Clancy never served, right? He was never in the military. He had wanted to be, but couldn't because of his vision. And so he relied very heavily on engaging military people and the military at large. And they supported him. They gave him the love, they gave him access. And so in that way, we are sort of doing a little time travel here, because we reached out to the Navy when we got this opportunity and said, hey, we're going to write this book. It's going to be on the 40th. And man, they ponied up, Dave. They gave us unlimited access. This is the USS Indiana. We got to go out to sea aboard fast attack submarine. We got to tour the Blackfish. We got to do a COD flight out to the Ford, who was underway in the Atlantic, and Brian got his first carrier trap. We spent 2 days aboard that ship with the newest aircraft carrier. Amazing experience. Got to meet the crew and the skipper, the XO. We met all of the officers and crew. We got to fly F-18 simulators with the instructor pilots from VFA 106. So first of all, that sounds like a kid's dream, but it informed this book so much. It allowed us to do what Clancy always did so well, which was really honor the men and the women, the technology, the things that are out there on the pointy tip of the spear. We were able to reflect that in this novel in a way we couldn't have done without the Navy. And we can't shout out the names of the people, because they're all still active duty and underway, but they know who they are, and God bless them for all the work they did. They were reviewing manuscript and checking facts, and they were incredible, man. It was really awesome.
Wow. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I saw a bunch of social media from you guys. And you were on board. Was the social media blurbs, it wasn't that long ago, part of this research, right? Okay.
Yes.
We've made several trips to Norfolk, and the last one. So we did post pictures when we were on the Ford, and you can't post the pictures from the submarines, but on the Ford we did. And we went to the USS Porter, which was really, it's an Arleigh Burke class destroyer. And they welcomed us aboard. They're in port, welcomed us aboard. We toured, spent a lot of time with their combat systems officer, the CSO. And they gave us access to combat and the bridge, and got to tour the entire boat. And so it's fantastic, because we're going to heavily feature the Arleigh Burke class DDG in the next Tom Clancy book. So again, you know, submarines and active defiance, and then we'll be dealing with the surface Navy and highlighting their incredible capabilities in the next Clancy book.
And you know what else it did, Dave, in addition to getting to see the platforms and the technology? We really got to meet these people, and, you know, old guys like us, we're like back in the day, right? You know what I mean? And there is a little element of that. You're like, you know, I don't know. Is this generation up to the task? We do that. And I'm embarrassed that I ever had those thoughts, because we met young men and women on all these platforms that are as dedicated, as committed, as hardworking, as patriotic, as passionate as anything that you've ever experienced in the military. So we are in good hands, I can tell you that. And it allowed us to reflect those relationships, the characters in our books are definitely amalgams of some men and women that we met during these tours. It was a really incredible experience.
It's a perfect amalgamation of your past, your skill sets, your knowledge base, your access that makes your books so real and so true to life. I mean, that's why we read your books. It's amazing.
Well, thank
you. We'll be right back. Today's episode is sponsored by Blackstone Publishing and the new thriller 4 Minutes by the best-selling authors of the Sons of Valor series, Brian Andrews and Jeff Wilson. When Special Ops Chief Tyler Brooks is recruited to lead an elite new squad to face an unpredictable enemy, he's promised access to mind-bending technology, the ability to glimpse into the future, collecting intel to stop attacks in the present. But when a plot to attack America, threatening the lives of millions, is discovered, is 4 minutes enough time to change the outcome? This new techno thriller will have you on the edge of your seat until the very last page. 4 minutes is available now from your favorite bookseller.
Hey, everybody, this is Brian Andrews.
And Jeff Wilson. Together, we're Andrews and Wilson.
And we are hanging out with Dave Temple on the Thriller Zone.
And now, back to the show. We need to get back to 4 minutes because we only have five left. But let's go ahead and just jump into this because there are folks who are going, oh, come on, I know, but I'm reading 4 minutes, or it's coming, rather. Let's talk about Special Ops Chief Tyler Brooks, great character, by the way, and his team of Task Force Omega. Now, we can start, let's start with the techno part of Techno Thriller, because this feels like a wee bit of a departure for you guys. So let's start there. If you want to elevator pitch it, if you just want to tell me, you know, talk about Tyler and his crew, jump
maybe
in.
Maybe even a step back from that, like where it comes from, right? Like the idea... Because this is, it's a departure, but it's not, right? Because what we write about is very character-driven, special operations, covert operations stuff, right? But there's always that idea of, you know, what's that one-by element? The one-by element that you can do a little speculative stuff on. We did that in Sandbox with artificial intelligence. Here, this idea of, what is it that makes missions fail? What is it that makes it so that things don't unravel the way you want them to? And the answer is the intelligence, right? Not, you know, not your intelligence, but the intelligence streams, the data. And what if you had an opportunity to get a little peek just into the future of what's going to happen? What might that inform what a special operations team could do, right? If you had that crystal ball, this is where the bad guys are going to be, and this is what they're going to do. Wouldn't that be a game changer? And so this book was sort of grew out of that. Talks from writing the other books about that frustration of not knowing, you know, really for sure. Where's the certainty? And so we did a little dive. I'll let Brian talk about the science dive that we did on time and time travel and how this technology could potentially work. And what the limitations would be. So what we didn't want to do is do time travel. We didn't want to do the DeLorean and back to the West, right? We wanted to have real rules that make it a challenge. And then we wanted to be able to show how every technology has an upside and a downside. So Brian, I'll let you do the hard part. Yeah, I see you looking at, yeah. Oh yeah. Save that part. Me.
Stay tuned for Professor Quantum Mechanics.
Billions and billions of years ago. Ooh, okay, go ahead.
Yes, I am a nuclear engineer. They couldn't let me on the submarine until I became a nuclear engineer. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that Jeff described it correctly, that we very much are interested in exploring this idea of the intersection of the human condition and technology. And so, especially now, there's so much rapid development of technology. And so when we thought about time travel, we always try to imagine, you know, what would it be really like instead of sort of the kitschy, like Hollywood, like he said, the DeLorean, you know, type of thing, or any of the other time travel movies. We tried to imagine, well, you know, let's see, how would this probably happen? So in the 4 minutes universe, what we sort of contemplated is that DARPA was what they were really working on is a modular fusion reactor. They're working on tokamak. And this technology is in the news because fusion reactors would be like sort of the panacea of energy generation. You'd have unlimited energy, and it doesn't produce nuclear waste like our conventional fission nuclear power plants do. So there'd be great interest in these small modular reactors. You could put them from base to base and they'd be completely self-sustaining. And so what happened is they're working on that. And when they turn on this reactor and they make this giant magnetic field, they end up sending somebody accidentally to the future. And when he comes back, you know, he's like, I think I was just in the future. And so the minute they realize they have this technology, you know, then they first say, you know, if we could go into the future, even just a short time in the future, imagine that. Like, imagine 9/11, you know, when we think about 9/11, a lot of times people say, well, all the signs were there if we had only just been able to put them together. Well, imagine if you went into the future and you actually you saw the tower fall. There's no missing that. So that this is our approach is intelligence collection is imperfect. And now you think you have this technology where you are going to have this asymmetric advantage over your competition. You get a leg up because you can actually see in your crystal ball what's going to happen. Of course, in a typical Andrews and Wilson book, you know, there's always a cost and there's always unintended consequences and things never work out like you think. So that's the fun part of 4 minutes in the plot.
Well, there's two movies that I thought about when I was reading this book, and I hope this is a compliment because it borrows on a couple of different theories. First of all, there's a great element of Minority Report, that Tom Cruise movie back 22 years ago, by the way, where they had that ability, that precogs.
Right? Yeah, yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
So there's a little bit of that. And then I thought about Inception. And that kind of a thing. And then I thought about, you know, time bending and the quantum mechanics, which I'm fascinated by. And then it begs the question as you're reading it, you know that you're sitting there going, all right, can you actually do that? I mean, there's a little bit of that you kind of think you can do.
Yeah, well, we spent a lot of time looking at a lot of stuff that's been written on time, the nature of time, and how it applies to potential of time travel. There's certainly nothing in the near horizon that suggests that there's going to be time travel. But if there was, we imagine it would be something like this. It would be very exciting to realize you could go, and then you realize that there's an enormous number of restrictions on how it works. You can only go in our universe that we created, they can only go up to 28 days, I think we used, into the future. But the worst part is because of the energy requirements, they can only stay for 4 minutes. Once this magnetic field that's being created becomes unstable, which they can maintain for about 4 minutes, you get sucked right back to the present. So is it really that? So imagine you get told, you get to be the first time traveler and you do it and you're like, that's it? Like, I was here for, like, seriously, 240 seconds in a room? Like, this is not sexy at all. This is awful.
Yeah.
And, you know, my only job is to cram as much information in my head so I can come back. Like, and so that's where Tyler Brooks is, our Navy SEAL, who's so excited by, hey, nothing bad's going to happen to my team again because I'm going to know what's going on. And he realizes, I couldn't have less accurate information than only having 240 seconds to absorb everything that's going on in the universe. And so we wanted to ground it that way so that we could focus on the characters and focus on, you know, the threat and make it exciting and suspenseful.
When they first jump, he's told, you're going to jump to this room and then we're going to have a lot of information. You just try to memorize as much as you can and bring it back to the present. Like, wait, that's what we do here? Yes, you jump, you memorize, you come back. He's like, that's not what I want to do.
Wait, I'm a SEAL senior chief. Yeah, I thought I was going to go in there and cap the bad guys. Like, no. You come back here, we'll figure it out.
Something there, it just resets when you come back.
Yeah,
and that was interesting to think about that, right? Because if you think about time flowing like a river, right? So like you're on a riverboat, you're standing on the riverboat, and you're just moving with time with the current, you know? If you throw a rock up into the front of the, off the bow, you're eventually going to catch up to that point. But, you know, anything that you did in the, if you jump off the front of that boat, you splash around and you come back onto the riverboat. By the time you get to that point, you know, all those ripples are gone. Everything is undone. So you're looking into the future, but you can't really affect anything in the future. And that's sort of the rub, right? So anything they do, they got to do it in the present. And then they go back to the future to check and see, did the thing that we did work? or did it not work? So it's this constant leapfrogging back and forth. Did it work? Did it not? Did it work? Did it not?
While I'm referencing movies, here's the other one that popped into my head, and I meant to say this, and that is Interstellar, because they're talking about bending time, and you know, you go out this way, but you're actually in there. I remember that they had a piece of paper, and they punched the pen through the paper, and I'm like, is that really doable? And I think a lot of that is our brains are just too much, or my brain's too much oatmeal up there to really be able to put that together.
So there's a difference between the theory and the technology, right? The math of, if you look at math from a quantum mechanics or from a physics standpoint, mathematically, everything that we pose in this book is plausible.
Okay.
Technologically, it's literally impossible, right? So there's that intersection of theory and fact. Does that mean it'll always be impossible? Well, I don't know. I'm not smart enough to imagine a technology that can overcome the hurdles to allow that to happen, or to allow you to survive it if you could. But from a math standpoint, the idea of time travel is plausible.
It's kind of like Brian's hat. It's like, it's there's concrete. Nothing like Brian's hat. It is concrete in and of itself.
But it's not really doable.
But it's not doable. It doesn't work.
It's been 45 minutes and I'm still laughing. Okay. Here's another question. As I was beginning to wrap the book, I went, I wonder if these guys are, if they see themselves drifting over into the space cowboy lanes.
We have always been space cowboys, David.
We own that lane.
Okay.
I think what we don't want to be boxed in the sense that, you know, we don't only want to be known as the guys that can write one type of book. I think that we're too intellectually curious. There's so many other interesting topics that I think that would become maybe frustrating for us, or at least potentially stale. So I think, you know, like we said, we're interested in how technology affects people and the human condition. We're interested about how unintended consequences happen, because once you've served in the military, you realize that every single piece of technology the Navy gives you, it never exactly works like you think it's going to. It always has unintended consequences. And then the other interesting thing is, you know, the operators typically adapt it to use it in an unforeseen way, you know, in a different way than maybe it was originally anticipated. So we love this idea, especially because technology is advancing so fast. The stuff that seemed like science fiction 2-3 years ago is reality now. And they have a machine that can write a book.
Yeah.
ChatGPT was the stuff of fiction 3 years ago. So for us, the types of things that we're speculating on happening in the near future, it's not space cowboy lane. It really is plausible.
Okay. Things. Well, there's. I'm now at a cognitive dissonance because I really want to jump on two different topics at once. One is Jeff changed his hat, so he went to Sony Pictures, which maybe triggered my thought to, we got to talk about what's going on media-wise outside of the books, but I'm going to come back because you just gave me the perfect tee-up, Brian, for AI. So let's spend 35 seconds of our remaining 4 minutes on AI, because you were talking about this back in Sandbox a lot. I saw you on social media and in the press. So let's talk about AI in both, how do I want to say it, in both writing and warfare, because there's the people going, oh my goodness, AI is going to take the books, and you know, and I'm like, whatever. And then the AI in warfare, you can talk amongst yourselves and pick the first one you want to talk about.
I mean, I think the way to approach it is to make a general statement about our take on AI. And that is that, like any tool, it's a valuable tool that can improve the human condition if we're in charge of the tool and not the other way around. Brian made a great analogy on an interview recently where he said, like, when they invented the nuclear bomb, nobody said, you know, why don't we let the nuclear bomb decide when it blows up, right? Like that's the risk of AI, is here's a technology that can make decisions. But we are insanely aware of the potential benefits. You know, I use the medical example all the time as a former vascular surgeon. The idea that you could be in the operating room and have in an earbud the world's literature on the problem that you're focused on. is going to logarithmically improve the quality of healthcare and what you can do when you encounter something unforeseen in the operating room. The cure for cancer is likely to be discovered by a relationship between artificial intelligence and human researchers. The battlefield you brought up, that's a great example. We can make decisions. They should still be human decisions, but it can be based on data that AI can help collate. For example, there are some projects in the active duty military and the DoD world right now that the only thing the AI is really doing is collecting this enormous, unmanageable amount of information and condensing it using AI algorithms into something consumable so that you get only what you need to make a good human decision. So there's a lot of really good things that can come out of artificial intelligence. And then, you know, you're talking about them writing books. Do we want that? I don't. But I think that's for people to decide. You want a book that was written about your condition by someone who shares it? You want something about the human condition written by a human or an artificial version of that? I think most people would choose the human generated content. But so I think there's good and bad, but you just have to decide as a species, not individually, where you want AI to fall into our universe.
Jeff, I wish you'd given this some thought because you just really haven't pulled. Brian, go ahead and jump in here because I know you got 2 cents burning a hole in your pocket.
Yeah, I would love it for us to be able to decide as a species. Unfortunately, I think our collective intelligence, we've proven that our collective intelligence is pretty low. So when it comes to making decisions that, you know, affect everyone on the planet, I think that's an area where human beings struggle. And it makes sense because, you know, we organize ourselves into local tribes and communities and then countries and everybody has resources. And so we're always sort of thinking about the competitive edge. And so I think this is where, you know, you're starting to see, I think the EU just last week started some legislation to protect creatives against losing their livelihoods and professions from AI. Whether the United States will follow suit or not, I don't know. We have a very strong influence of big tech on our politics. And so big tech is invested in this technology and I don't think they want to see it limited in any way. You know, part of me as a creative, I think about, you know, I get a lot of my self-worth and sense of purpose from being a storyteller. And if somebody were to take that away from me and I was not able to compete with AI that can churn out a book in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or churn out 100 books in a week, you know, and I can't compete anymore at that speed, you know, what am I left to do? You know, am I just supposed to be a consumer that doesn't add any value to our culture or generate anything myself? So I'm wrestling with this question personally. I don't have an answer for it, but I think that a lot of people are wrestling with it. And that's sort of the angst that you're starting to see in the national discourse.
Well, I was talking to Mark Graney just inside the last 2 weeks, and we were talking about this at length. And he said, look, yeah, somebody somewhere fed all of his books into an algorithm and said, write me a book like this. And he said, it got pretty close. And he goes, and he always has such a good attitude, doesn't he, about everything. He's just like, hey, okay, so let that happen, whatever. I'm going to write what I want. The people who want to read what I write, they're going to be there. So maybe that's a little Pollyanna. Maybe that's just a healthy way to do it. Because to your point, Ryan, you can get wigged out, flipped out, and stressed by going, what if this happens? However, at the end of the day, and I was saying this to someone recently, it's kind of like this. You can tell the difference between a handmade suit or handmade shoes, right? Or a handmade shirt. And I use this just because I like wardrobe. Than made by a machine. So you're going to have the choice and you're going to pick one or the other. And
I like that attitude, Dave, because then we become the Gucci of storytelling, right? Our books will go for $400 a pop.
We are bespoke.
Especially with that hat. Once with again,
the
hat. Yes.
The head shake with the hat.
Yeah.
Bottom home, baby.
It doesn't even fall off. It's on so tight. Give me a
minute. I see the circulation starting to bulge your eyes just a little bit. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I know I told you we'd be out in time. So the book is 4 minutes. It's a riveting read. I loved every bit of it. You guys always, once again, the future is only half the battle. I love that little byline. You guys just continue to put it out. And I know you're stacked. And as you said earlier, Jeff, it was perfect. You said, are we wigged out? But so grateful. And that's the thing I like about you guys. You're always operating out of gratitude. And you know the gifts you've been given. And I so admire that about you, too.
Thank you, David. I appreciate that.
Because we didn't touch on the Sony, let's go ahead real quick as we start to wrap. Besides books, there's some TV stuff. Talk to me. Give me the skinny.
We got a lot going on. We now have, is it 13 or 14, Brian?
Yes.
It's either 13 or 14 projects in development.
No, it depends on what other people do.
Yeah. Right. But Hollywood. So we'll see what all that means. But we've got stuff from things that are already scripted and in pre, all the way down to things that have just been optioned. We've got about 14 things. I think probably 3 or 4 of them are features. The rest are TV. Is that right? Does that sound right, Brian? I don't know. I have to look at it. But Tier 1, for example, has been optioned. We're super excited about that. We've got some others that are in the works. So the best thing is you go to the website. We've got a media page now. It lists everything that we have. But that has been an exciting thrill ride to do that.
Cool. What'd you say, Brian?
I just said 4 minutes is being developed.
Yeah, 4 minutes is in development right now for either TV or film. Has already been optioned, and some of the projects we're actually we're executive producers on everything that we're doing, all 14. But we've got a couple that we're also the screenwriters, so that's fun. To get involved in that side of the business. We've got a project with Walden that we're writing. So yeah, it's one more thing that we have to do instead of play with our kids.
Well, there'll be time. I want to say this, there is, we were talking about if AI takes over something, and there's one thing I know, having done three tours of duty in Hollywood, is that people like working with people that they like. Now, so follow me here. Can you spit out a script by AI? Sure. Can you build all those mechanics in and have it done willy-nilly and one after the other? Yeah, sure. However, like you guys are going to be the prime example, good people like to work with good people. And knowing that you created the collateral yourself and that we get to work, I'm using me as though I'm Hollywood, get to work with you is really kind of part of the blessing and the juice.
Yeah. And you know, that screenwriting is different than writing a novel. We work and work and work and work. And we get a novel and it goes out there. A screenplay is done in post, right? Like when post is done, the screenplay is done. Everything. And so the human interaction that goes in between a producer and a director and the talent having their own take on things, as well as the writers being involved from beginning to end, it's such a dynamic, kinetic, living thing that AI can't do that, right?
Right.
AI can't go, you know what, because we got so-and-so actor doing it, it's playing a little different. Let's rewrite this part. Let's redo this part. Let's change how we approach this scene or this set piece. Like, it's a very living, breathing, kinetic thing, unlike writing a novel. And so I feel like on the screen side, there's that protection. In addition to the WGA and SAG-AFTRA had a lot to say about this over the last year, obviously. But in addition to just legal protections, I think there is, in its nature, producing film and television is a human experience that is very, very difficult to replicate by machine.
Yeah. And I think two of the key words that popped into my head as you were explaining that so eloquently is organic and nuanced. There's a sense of organic that comes out of only the humans can really do it. And the nuanced, sure, can you have that script written and involve pathos? Maybe. But it's our sensibilities and our humanity that makes the nuance work. So
I agree.
And we'll see you at Dave Temple Baptist Church on Sunday as I preach about the nuance of it. All right. So Folks, if you want to know more, andrews-wilson.com. The course is a place to go. And as Jeff and both Brian Wrench, mentioned earlier, you can find out all about the books and what's happening. But this has been so fantastic and needs to happen a little more often.
Oh, well, if we're tied for first place with Mark, we got to beat Mark, right?
That's right.
We got to beat Mark.
We'll wear a different silly hat the next time. Whatever it takes.
Yeah, he's not bringing his silly hats, I bet.
Yeah.
Please sign up for our newsletter if you don't mind, because we don't send them very often, but it does keep you up to date on our new releases and just cool industry news and stuff like that. So we won't spam you and we won't trade your information, but it is the best way. So like David said, go to our website, andrews-wilson.com, and sign up for our newsletter. It's free, and we'll keep you in the loop.
Sweet. Well, guys, I doubt that. I know because you're busy, and now I'm guessing I'm moving. If the family is being moved down the list, then I'm certainly going to be moved down the list as far as priorities. So
never, David, never.
Can I get on your calendar for 2025, everybody?
Of course. Anytime. You get on our calendar next week, Dave. That's how this
Okay.
Goes. Are you going to be in New York? Maybe we'll see you in New York.
And that could happen.
And if not, we'll be in Nashville in the fall for about.
Now that one, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be there. Yeah. Guys, once again, thank you so much for the gift of your time and your prolific talent.
Thank you so much for having us. We'll all be praying that Brian can get the hat off.
Thanks once again to my good friends, Brian and Jeff, a.k.a. Andrews and Wilson. The book, as you know, 4 minutes, so good. So good. As always, these guys are just cranking it. Before we go, want to do just a couple of quick things, if you would. You can join us on any podcast channel, Apple, Spotify, you name it, we're there. And finally, thank you to our sponsors, Blackstone Publishing, for supporting the show, and a potentially new sponsor called Coffee Coffee. Based here in lovely, groovy Encinitas, they serve up delicious coffee and accoutrement. Snacks, if you will. So if you're ever in the neighborhood, check it out. All right. Next week's guest is a surprise. I'm going to leave you to hang on the edge for that. Until then, I'm Dave Temple, your host, and I'll see you next time for another edition of the Thriller Zone.
Your front row seat to the best thrillers. The Thriller Zone.
The Thriller Zone has been presented by Blackstone Publishing and the exciting new techno thriller 4 Minutes, now available from your favorite bookseller. Learn more at blackstonepublishing.com.